Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. And I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, coming to you very close, very close. So it is All Souls Day. It is, again, Day of the Dead just behind us, but ongoing. Halloween behind us, but true Halloween on November 7th coming up. So its back channels are open, or opening for us all, to call in that which is more powerfully wise than our rogue species that seems to be having a cruel sociopathic psychotic breakdown. So here we are, three Librans convening with the Day of the Dead, All Souls, and True Halloween. Our late colleague, J.H. Jacobs, says, a Libra is just an Aries that's been to charm school. Woof, 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 woof. So we are hosting fellow politically engaged astrologer Rachel Lang, elected to Ojai, California City Council, who writes, I just found out I've been selected to serve on the Community Services Policy Committee for California League of Cities, helping shape policies for health and human services, arts and culture, and care for the unhounds. So that all metaphysics be applied to supporting flora, fauna, fungi, democracy, or to hell with it. Welcome, Rachel. Welcome. Oh, she dropped out. We're going to call her. Okay, and indefatigable ally in perpetuity, Diane Wilson, who, again, reporting from the underworld, as she said, she goes, hey, Caroline, I'm on a hunger strike, again, in a ditch, right, there, from the underworld, front of Formosa Plastics, Texas. Come and levitate the plant. Seriously. All right, we're going to do what we can this hour and more. And Diane further writes, I fought Formosa on a material, physical, and a legal level. Now I'm fighting on a spiritual level, and we back you up, Diane. So let's have all desired blessings lined up for animation. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, thank you for putting me on your channel. And while I'm in a ditch, right, looking at Formosa, yes.
Those
clear vibes. Send them.
Right. No. It's resonant to way back when we met long ago and we were outside. Yeah, you were chained to Formosa. You are so dedicated. Right. And we did extremely live radio with Pacifica Station in Houston and live actual Texas callers calling in, not usual Pacifica listeners who were like, that woman's talking the truth about, you know, Formosa. Anyway, so there was that. And here we are again. So line up the blessings that you would like us to woof to you.
Well, the thing of it is Formosa Plastics is an international company, and they make plastic, and that wherever they go, whether it's Taiwan, Vietnam, Louisiana, Delaware, Illinois, or Texas, they create this very disruptive air, and they end up buying out the communities. They contaminate the water. They drought out the community and the air and the vinyl chloride, and it's what they do. And, you know, I did a big lawsuit against them in 2019, and they got a $50 million, one of the biggest yet. And here they have created this colossal mess in Vietnam, and over, I think over 100,000 people were impacted, and fishermen were totally wiped out. And any complaint to the Vietnam government, they're in jail. And matter of fact, about 20 of them are still in jail for just putting out blogs, you know, 20 years in jail. And so we're aligning with the Vietnamese fishermen and the Vietnamese American community, and they are, wow, I'm totally in awe of their solidarity. And so we're trying to change the I don't know whether it's the consciousness of Formosa Plastics or whether it's to change the good luck they think they're on, and to switch it, and so that they will come to the table with all these Vietnamese fishermen, and they will stop doing the business, how they do their business, or get out. And right now it's probably get out.
Okay, that's great. All right, so we were putting this on our dedicated altar of three Librans convening with everybody participatory listening and all of the spirit back channel spookiness. Yeah, because I loved what you said, that you won the $50 million lawsuit. It all went to the environment and to goodness, you know, on a material, a physical, and a legal level. And now we're just calling in, you know, again, three Librans and everybody else, you know, calling in. So you've put this desirable thing on the template. It's true. We don't know how, right, a change of heart, a change of leadership everywhere, right? Because anything that's anywhere is everywhere. And we're, you know, humbled by the horror, you know, in Gaza and Israel and Vietnam and Formosa and Seadrift, Texas, and, you know, and Rachel can report in from Ojai. So welcome, Rachel. You're here now, right?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, reporting
for duty. You sound clear as a bell. So I love
good.
This. You know, so. Self-assembling, the magic is real, right? Because I loved Diane for the longest time, and you know, and she's in a ditch in the underworld. Sure, you're so literal, Diane. I still have the sign that you that I saw in your yard that I put up in mine, going, you know, beware of, just beware, right, of everything, right? So
oh, yeah.
It's a great sign. So Rachel, I mean, I love the three Librans and everybody connecting, you know, going who brought what, because you are somebody mm-hmm. who really, again, part of our team of applied metaphysics for tangible good, even in the political and corporate realms, right? Do you want to mm-hmm. do any little scouting report from Ojai or whatever you want to contribute to Diane's dedication or anything?
Yes, well, I love Diane. I love your dedication, and it made me think it conjured up a dedication inside of my own heart that I'd love to share. If it is now a good time to share the dedication?
Of course.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, in my practice, my consulting practice, I've worked with so many people who are just in deep grief, and the message that keeps coming to, you know, for each one of those clients, and their children are in grief and children in mental health crises. And, you know, just, I think everything, it is we're in this pivotal time where all of the impulse to transform is so heightened that it's driving a lot of people to some real, you know, grief inside of their own bodies. And so my dedication and my intention is that waves of joy would flood the world and enter into the hearts of all the young people, all of the children who are watching what's happening in Israel and Gaza, all of the children who are struggling with their own, you know, challenges and life experiences, and that all the teenagers and the children of this world would feel that joy and know what it means to be alive and really love being alive and being a part of this world. And all the children in our hearts, all of the adults who have inner children, that we just experience the joy that is possible for us.
Well, that's an amazing one. I guarantee it. To have that front and center down here at Formosa in the ditch. I would. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the future. This is the future of the children, and it's a colossal mistake. And so, the children are the future, and that's a wonderful thing to put on the table. I love that.
I missed it because the spirit channels are open and I dropped out. Can you restate your blessing? We're all coming and going.
Just that waves of joy would enter into the hearts of all the children in the world and create a balancing effect for all of the pain and the grief that is so present and so up for us right now.
Right, and the full knowledge that even, you know, Diane, you're really good at talking to people across borders, and when I've talked to actual engaged warmongers, could always in the past come to an accord that the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. And they all went, yeah, that's it. And that's also part of, you, Rachel, and you, Diane's dedication, because a wonderful life for all children includes not being poisoned, right?
Oh yes, oh yes. Not being poisoned and
Yeah.
not having your whole culture disappear and not having
Right.
your family's lifestyles and the way they work, make a living. I know in, like, for instance, the Vietnamese fishermen, one of the tragic things about it is because the fishermen in Vietnam could no longer make a living, so they had to go to different countries to make a living, and their children were left with grandparents. They had to quit school. They, it was an entire disruption of the fisheries, the communities, and the families of all of those. So yes, the children are very, very important.
Right.
And if I could also just interject that within the myth of Mars, which is Mars is the god of war, and mythological Mars relate or astrological Mars relates to how we enter into conflict and conflict in the world, war being a part of that. But the mythology of Mars was not just the god of war. He was also the guardian of agriculture. And so inherent within this myth is the understanding that if people had their basic needs met and were able to live a good life, as you said, Caroline, then we wouldn't need to go to war. So there's as much about this need to protect and the impulse to protect that is the response to war.
Right. And we're here to liberate everything and liberate all the, all the spirit forces from any past constraining metaphors of human befoibelment. Right. So Mars never killed anybody, right? Except for the rapist of his daughter, so he doesn't have a rap sheet. But really, right now we're in this Scorpio, Sun in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio, Mercury Scorpio, Ceres Demeter, goddess of the Earth in Scorpio, which is our back channel sizzle. And so, Mars in all of us, and I find the astro mythology such a more liberating way to speak of what humans call gender. It's like everybody's got a Mars and a Venus. Mars, I go Mars is woofiness. Mars animates, Venus magnetizes, and together they spiral forth into the world, right? So Mars in Scorpio says to the Mars in all of us, may it be a wizard, steward, protector. It's opposite all these planets in Taurus. Again, protecting the land, and that's what you've been doing also, Diane, too, which is, what is real? What is it to be a stand-up guy or a stand-up Gaia, right? And it's like protect the land and the children and the water and the culture. So,
That's it.
and
That's it.
that's
And that's
it.
on a practical level. That's what, people who work with their hands and they live in little trailers and, and they dig their own wells, is that's what they want. They're just trying to protect their children and to be able to feed them. Basically, that's what the people in Vietnam wanted, and here comes a Formosa Plastics, and it's nothing but greed. And the thing that is,
Right.
this is a question I have for you, is that, I get a lot of stories from workers, and I got a story from management at Formosa, and there was this, it's an interesting story, and it's got a spiritual realm or a other world, and so it makes me think that Formosa Management Taiwan has a belief in something, and one of the things. It was, there was this huge, so they got their big plastic plant, 2,500 acres, and they've got what they call downstream plants, and they ship their plastic to them, and they make vinyl chloride bags, raincoats, all this type of stuff. And anyway, when they were making this really big downstream plant, they had kind of a ribbon cutting ceremony. And so they invited some of the Americans to it that are working at the site management, and they did a little ceremony. But then they all left, and it was just the Taiwanese there, the real upper management Taiwanese. And the story goes that a big hole was dug, and they threw all of this money in it, and they burned it. It was some sort of, yeah. And so this was a deeply, deeply secret thing. And also, I know when they have, when I've talked to, say, Taiwanese who have came from Taiwan, and they're supposed to be doing a site tour on behalf of Formosa, and we talked to them, they said they were brought into temples and made to swear things. So can you give me an inkling of, you know, I know there's a material level where people operate, but apparently I believe there might be something else that promotes you. Formosa considers something. I don't know what to call the. I don't know what to call the word. I don't know how to describe it. But there seems, and that's why all of this stuff that Formosa does, and all of the troubles wherever they go, there seems to be a different level to it, a kind of almost on a spiritual realm. And I wanted to try to intercede, or whether it's a dark spirit or what, I don't know. And so that's right. One reason why I really did. I called you with the, I know, yeah. it's a little bit funny, but it's a little bit serious too about, why don't you come down here and help levitate this plant?
Right.
You know?
No. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. Definitely. But also telepathically now, you know, right. Well, anything anywhere is everywhere. And so what, you know, both of you are dedicated to is so crucial, that there's something about the Dementors of Doom, those possessed by greed. And I do honor the actual metaphor of possession, you know, that there's a kind of mob mind that is created that invites the worst of people to pick up a stone and do cruel things and react back, and I mean just everywhere. And so the Dementors attack actual community and replace it with a quirky cult. But so it's our job to go backstage, and both of you are very active in all worlds, and also certainly on stage, because they go together, to dissolve the greed or the bad spirit that superstitious tyrannical dingbattery that Formosa might be under the spell of, you know. But we kind of like them throwing the money in a pit and burning it, right? I mean, that's an interesting.
Yeah, it is. So I thought.
So they want to be liberated.
I don't know what it was, but it was very valuable things. It was like they had to sacrifice it. It was a sacrifice. That's the intention that when the story was delivered to me, that was kind of the connotation. It was a
sacrifice. So So the team we root for, may it be so, all of us, is liberating trickster derived from nature, sprung from the land, to liberate, even the demons, right? It's like if Formosa's under some black magic spell of greed, may they be liberated, may whatever cause them to throw the money in a pit and burn it, and as their attempt to be freed from greed and corruption, or even if that wasn't their intent, we'll make it that now. May
Oh,
you
I
be
like
freed from,
that.
yeah, I think so. May you be freed
Absolutely.
from greed and cor. Well, we, because we, in
Absolutely.
all the mythology. Oh, sorry, you go.
Who?
No, you go, you Diane. We've got it.
I did not interrupt, but I do want to tell you that when we did the press conference the other day, is we had a beautiful Vietnamese in these flowing yellow gowns, and oh my God, they were drumming, and they had these queer little guitars that made these funny little sounds, and they were wonderful. They sang the national anthem and Vietnam anthem, and oh, but interesting, we had Sharon Levine from the St. Rise St. James.
Yes,
They came down.
yes, yes.
And what they did, you know what they did? They did the Jericho march right here in front of us. All of us were doing the Jericho march to pull the wall down. That's what
Yeah.
that was,
Oh, that's
Sharon.
great.
So it was like, so it's kind of so it really got me thinking, especially with the symbolism in the Vietnamese and their colors and all of this, and then the Jericho March. I was like, yes, we tried every angle to go against this company, and
Right.
the spiritual realm might be their Achilles heel.
No, that's great. No, here comes Louisiana. I know I love Karen Levine. I have hosted her on show, and again, you clearly know each other, and she's indefatigable. So yes, you're bringing the Jericho March and Louisiana root medicine. These are politically
Yeah,
engaged
it's
women
great.
who are Creole wise about roots and spirits, and that's also what you do, Rachel, too, which is where we're convening, which is, yeah, for everybody to bring all of their skills, overcome the Inquisition, and to go, no, our visualizing skills are happily wedded to actual tangible actions, on Diane jumping in a ditch and all, and more, right? And so yeah, we'll give a shout out to Karen Levine, back to her, and she's joining you in the hunger strike, is that right?
Oh, yeah, she's been involved in it. And matter of fact, she was supposed to have, cause, she flew down and she was supposed to have flown back, but she was having so much fun with the singing and the Jericho march, she totally lost her flight. She said she was having too much fun. She really did.
Too
She
much
seemed
fun. Well,
passionate. Too much
that's what us
fun.
Librans say when groups or whatever go, oh, yeah, we just go, some we're just too much fun for some people. So Karen Levine, just Louisiana Mojo, the Jericho March, the walls came tumbling down, right? This is all, again, this is the season, this is the time. You two are the wonderful parts of all of us who are, wedding action. Well, visionary activist, I got stuck with the title activist, 27 years ago, but it does mean something that you both embody, which is, let's do stuff and avail ourselves of all of our skills. I love that. Yeah, imagination, and in all mythologies, see, part of the dynamic is, how do we liberate even the demons, right? How do we liberate even Formosa? We don't know how, but I also I got a wonderful video and pictures from friend Merlin Sheldrake, who's in Mexico on a pilgrimage, bless his heart. He says the veils are very thin here. We're just at Maria Sabina's grave, and this fabulous Day of the Dead dancing mojo, again, indigenous people in Oaxaca, and it's like, right, honoring Pluto, honoring the underworld in a powerful way, the mushrooms and the everything, so that the Dementors don't. Again, we have, plutonic explosions of rage, and Pluto says, that is volatile and explosive in direct proportion to the degree of its exclusion, like doo-doo, and so we have a culture that doesn't really know how to honor the underworld, except older cultures do, and you both do as well. And I want to hand it back to both of you in two shakes. Well, actually now, because I forgot what I was going to say. But the honoring
I
of the
do that sometimes.
underworld. Oh, here's one thing, which is, how we tell the myth. So in the myth of Pluto and Persephone, the myth of kidnapping is way, way late, way patriarchal late. Plato says in one of the early versions of the story, the Pluto figure is called Pharmacia. So it's not like a guy kidnapping a woman. It's initiatory plants and mushrooms that take us to the underworld where we can, where our souls speak more deeply to us. It's meant to be a powerful, good place, like Merlin's doing in Oaxaca, and you're doing in a ditch, Diane, outside the Formosa plant. I can see it in my mind's eye. That's right. And we'll have to post the picture of your fabulous truck and everything. And then Rachel, we get to Kahoot, further in coming days and all, but honoring Pluto, right? What does this want to be? And right now, Pluto's image is a gypsy reading tea leaves. So it's the most practical part of us is divinatory. So yes, anybody, any response? Rachel, perhaps on honoring
Sure,
Pluto?
I'll take it away. So
Okay.
it's interesting. So I'm gonna tie in, Diane, what you're doing with Formosa, and I'm gonna tie in Pluto. And Diane, as you're talking, I started to go into the spiritual significance of plastic and just taking
Oh,
it for
yes.
what it is. And this is something that's been really on, like really heavy on my mind, because we are in the process as a city council of initiating a plastic, or bring up for a vote, a policy banning plastics and Mylar balloons. And I've
Oh.
also, I'm a painter, and working with acrylic, I've started to really re I used to work with acrylic, and now I'm starting to realize that this is all plastic. So I've had my own Plutonian journey and experience with plastic. And as you're talking, I had this insight that really what plastic is a creative medium. It's allowing us to make things. And so it's become a way that we have been able to hone a craft to create things that used to be created with natural substances. And so, what Pluto calls us to do in our own lives is Pluto is the planet that relates to compost, that relates to sanitation. Anything that decomposes and transmutes. And so perhaps some of the intentions that we could be setting right now, and some of the dedications we could be offering, is for us to find new creative substances that would make plastics as we know them now,
Hemp.
obsolete.
Hemp,
Yep,
hemp, puree.
hemp,
Hemp,
mushrooms,
hemp, puree.
algae, there's still,
Era.
yeah, there's mycelium is a form of plastic. I mean, there's
Oh,
so
that's
much
great.
right now that's happening with the plastics industry. But as long as I mean, but it's in development. So it's a something we could there is an evolution right now already.
Right, and let me just take us back to a crucial universal or global theme right now. Martine Prechtel says, all about human manners, our rogue species, bad manners. And he says, was the oil in the ocean invited? Was the oil invited to become plastic? Was the plastic invited to become a TV screen? No. And that's why the world rebels against puny human will, and breaks down. So it's we're back to human manners. And I
Oh.
want to come right back to that after our break. We're going to have a break music. It's the break music we've used for the last 2 weeks because I can't think of anything more rousingly. Well, you'll hear it's a great group, Otiken, and a little bit of their song Genesis, which you won't be able to hear the or see the words, but it says, nature will heal us better than any shaman. Connect with that. But you'll hear it's very Plutonic in a positive way. All cultures had their way of like working it out, taking the poisons of the community and working it out into goodness, liberating even the demons. So here we go. Short break music. Everybody hang in, and we'll converse on the other side about manners and effective action and visualizing everybody successful in their projects. Here we go. Otiken. Otiken, a portion of
Wow.
their song Genesis. Isn't that great?
Wow.
With our
Wow.
wonderful guests, Diane Wilson and Rachel Lang, two engaged magic women doing effective good in the world, making politics sacred again because it just means dedication to collective well-being. That's great. So, Diane, isn't that great? You can broadcast that out of your truck outside Formosa.
Oh,
Wouldn't that be
absolutely.
good?
I was actually, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, I need to get a speaker in. See, because I am
Yes.
right in front of their big industrial park signs, and this is the administration building right in front of me, where there is the management of Formosa, Texas, Formosa, USA, and Formosa Plastic Group out of Taiwan, and they're all right there. Oh, I
Oh,
was
that's great.
thinking of that music. Oh, wow,
No.
I
No,
was
I think
thrilled.
you got a speaker because I find this such a great, and see if you agree, Rachel, such a great Pluto song, which is like,
Oh, I
wah, that it just opens the portals and is like, all right, take that and let it speak to you, like, whoa, do I,
Send me the link. Send me the link. I'll play it.
Yeah,
I
I'll send
love
you
it.
the whole thing. That's right, and it's going to be out
Okay.
there in Texas, and we're going to play it in Bolinas this weekend, and we're just because it's also like I don't know how anybody can listen and not move around and just go, all
Oh
right,
my
we're
goodness.
taking on, yeah, we're taking on the,
Wow.
well, here we are, three Librans, incarnational agents of Venus, and as Granny Weatherwax says, we're witches. We don't do nice. But we do, you know, we do spicy and, you know, invoke and you know, invite that in. So that really opens the portals. And you know, and you and I, Diane, both have Mercury quintile Pluto, which is we like the underworld, you know.
I do. I kind of do. Yeah. You're
Well, we
right.
do. It's fermenting, and Rachel also, you know, it's fermenting and compost, and asking everything, what did this corrupt thing want to be, you know, before it got twisted? You know, let's track it all the way back. Yeah, and the same with the plastics, and what you were saying, Rachel, about, you know, what does this want to be? And then back to human manners. I mean, you know, so Librans, three Librans here. It's kind of like liberating the Shakespeare thing. When shall we three meet again? Librans always happy to introduce allies, going, okay, Diane, meet Rachel, two effective women in the world, you know, who are open to mojo. And Karen Levine bringing her Louisiana mojo and her incredibly effective community organizing in Louisiana. And when she was on the show, she was like, have Joe Biden come down here and I'll drive him around in my 68 Plymouth Fury or whatever she had, I can't remember, you know, and show him a real good time. And so we want to see all these portals opening for unexpected good things for people's better selves step into the fore. And I guess let me toss to both of you that there's no place so, you know, hideous that there aren't some allies there whose hearts are turning, whether it's, you know, in government or even in Formosa. There they are burning money because they, well, again, I'll toss it back to you. Everything could be liberating or imprisoning. And so, you know, burning money in a pit, which is what Formosa did, superstition or participatory symbolism, right?
I don't know. That's what I'm always like, what I just knew in my heart that was something very secret and private with them, and they'd probably freak out me even mentioning it because nobody was supposed to have been there, but it made its way to me, and I was like, that is important to know about. I need to know what that
Yes.
reason, why are they, because it's a very, it's on a different level than this, you know, this these chemical plants and the units and the VCM and the PVC and the HDPE and all these units and all of their wastewater. It's something different, and
Right.
you know, they
Well,
counsel with.
yeah, the indigenous, which means sprung from the land, you know, is more available in Thailand, in Formosa, in Bali, in, well, almost everywhere but America, right? Except until now, right? So it's everything alive, and I love, let's see, John Burdett's novel Bangkok 8, in which he has the Thai people talking to the Americans. And so, you know, us white people are called Farang, which is kind of spiritually impoverished. And the Thai people say because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, that everything's alive. And so they're solving crimes on multiple levels, but they're like, oh, but don't tell the Farang that we talk to spirits because it just freaks them out. So we'll keep it as our secret. So in the Formosa realm, it's like, you know, even if they thought that, well, let me back up here. So there's something, you know, the mob mind, the cunning man, tyranny, attacks authentic community, I mean, over and over and again, and replaces it with the toxic mimic of a cult, right? So we're destroying community, but we're creating a cult, a Formosa cult, you know, a government cult or whatever. And so it's like, no, we want to compost the cult everywhere, you know, so that actual community can arise. And then just one other last little thing. Sally Cox, who works to protect the bonobos in the Congo, haven't talked to her in a while, but maybe it's time again. But one of the things that she reported to all of us is when they got there and the villagers were killing the bonobo, the chimps that solve everything through sex and kindness, because so the first thing they did was when they arrived was to reinstate the ferry service, so, and this ties to your Vietnamese allies, Diane, so that the villagers could take their produce to market and not have to eat the bonobo. And then they said, we realized that to save the bonobo, we had to save the whole community. And so they started a university for environmental studies, and she gathered bicycles from all over America and gave them to all the villagers. And the villagers were like, who's our friend? The environmentalists, right? So to save this. And then what happened was once the villagers were no longer eating their kin, the shame dissolved, and all the sacred songs of kinship rose back up that they could sing because they were no longer violating their own souls.
Yeah.
So.
Beautiful.
So
yep.
just to
That's
to
what
you
we
all
go
and,
after.
Well, so you three witches, or including, you know, again going right to save, you know, is to save the whole community, you know, even the demons. That's the woman hero, different from Guy, or the Venusian hero, different from Guy, which is interested in liberating the land, liberating women, liberating men, liberating the entire circumstance. And here we are back channels again, liberating the atmosphere that could have snookered people into doing this harm. So,
yeah,
however
and
you
it's
want
really kind of snookered. You're right. Snookered, and they do snookered real good down here.
Whoops, say that again. You're breaking up, but it's just the spirits.
They do snookered down here real good.
Ooh. So
go ahead.
Oh no, that's right. We have a delay. I'm trying not to talk over. I'm aspiring. but I just wanted to go to your they do snookered down here real good, and let's just chime in, everybody. Until now,
right?
The snookered, so everybody, you know, remember the Hafez says the small man builds prisons for everyone he meets, but the wise woman ducks under the moon and tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners, right? So let's see you, Diane, and you, Rachel, with a basket full of liberating keys, liberating lightning keys, here you go, here you go, here you go, you know, and may there be worthy jobs so that people don't have to sell their souls to work for, you know, toxic mimics of community poisoning the community. Yeah. So
that has to be our future, or it's gone down here. It really is. This part of the Texas Gulf. And the thing of it is, it's not just my part. You go up down towards Corpus, you go up toward Galveston, you know, it's the same thing. And it's like, it has to be contained not too far in the future, or otherwise it's going to be the whole culture of this this cult of making
this
little
cult.
Babies just it's like just like itself, and it's sickening.
Well, we know it's dangerous everywhere, right? It's I hear you. And feel free, Rachel, to chime in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm gonna put this into the context that I most understand, which is the astrological context, so you have Venus and Mars, and they're in this dynamic relationship in all of our charts, and they play out in our personalities, and Venus being the part that connects to relate. Mars being the individuated self, the part of us that is protecting boundaries, and so Venus calls and magnetizes, and so magnetizing the right up the opportunities that are so good that they provide another source of income, another source of a way of life for people, so that they start leaving the toxic environments. And I think that that's perhaps a way that we can contextualize all of these all of the kind of Pluto and Capricorn themes that we're seeing in our world right now. Pluto and Capricorn being the, you know, being the way that capitalism is being transformed, the way that we're seeing all of the shadow aspects of greed in our culture, not just our culture, but all over the world. And you, Caroline, if you have any other thoughts that you'd like to add about that.
Well, I do, and let's keep toing and froing. I'm so delighted to be cahooting with you both. So Venus, okay, all of us here are incarnational agents of Venus, so whatever Venus is doing is like, oh, okay. Venus right now is at 24 Virgo, which is a degree especially of honoring grief. Mm-hmm. And I've been so working on this, which is grief is really love. It's anguished, but it is love and full of yearning, like for the land that you love, you know, Diane, you know, for the fishing community that you love that's, you know, been desecrated,
right,
for the communities that you love around the world, and Bhopal and Vietnam that you love. Grief really is love. Grievance is hatred. And it's such a complex thing to discern right now, you know. But grievance, I think, is a kind of toxic mimic, a way of avoiding the deep, deep soulful grief. So Venus in Virgo at honoring grief is in what's called a grand trine in Earth right now. It trines Pluto, and Pluto trines Uranus, and Uranus trines back to Venus. And grand trines were considered like, oh, kind of cool. But the medievals warned that it's like greased lightning, that if you're intimate with these principles and can work with them, it's like, whoa, you know, the vision really wants to incarnate into actuality. And if you're not, then you get possessed, right? So just to bring, so Venus is grieving, Pluto's degree is divination, and Uranus's degree is a white dove flying over troubled waters. Well, that's where you live, Diane, right? Right, white, it's like white dove flying over troubled waters. It's like there's much to grieve, but
oh,
what I'm
there
so
you are.
I hand it back to you, because there is so much to grieve, and grieve is love. It's a sacrament.
Yeah. Well, you know what, I've always been, you know, I've been raised down here in Pentecostal, and my grandmother was a faith healer, and she literally believed in raising the dead, because I had a uncle,
yes,
that died when my mother was pretty young, and she remembered my grandmother putting him on the supper table and trying to bring a dead body back to life. So that was what I was raised in, this Pentecostal holy rolling. And but you know, and I'm no longer that, you know, I've got issues with God and Jesus, but there's this sense of more than the physical, and with the fishermen and the fish houses in the bay, I mean, it just kept this level of mystery, and I just loved it. I loved it. And I remember when I was, I don't know, maybe when I was about 35, or maybe I was older, 40, when I was 40, and I had a dream that I went to the bay, and there was no fish houses. There was no fish in their trucks at the bay. It was just empty. And I have dreams that come true. And so I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to be true. This is not going to be true. And it's like, and then it happened. And it's like dead. And a lot of times I have a hard time going down to the bay where all the fish houses were, and where I had open season was a celebration of the whole town. And it is no longer there. And it's just, I really, and, you know, I think that what gives me such a drive to try to curb this cancer that's all over the county, and it's just swallowing, you know. And when I got that $50 million in from Formosa for that settlement, I put $20 million into building a sustainable fishery cooperative for the fishermen who had been like dislodged from the seas. And I remember there was a Formosa spokesperson when he looked at my $20 million that I was going to put into a cooperative. He said, "That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. That's not progress. That's gone. It's gone." It's like, that's what they want to think. They want to think this cancer of these cells of this metal and pipes and vinyl chloride and this crazy drag line that's right outside my window here. It's like, this is the future, and it's like, I'll be damned if it is.
Right. You know, you bring up the C word, right? And for my own customized medical underworld adventure, I kept asking the doctors and everything, what's the story, right? And they're like, oh. And then they said, well, here's the story. The chief characteristic of cancer cells is that they've forgotten, they've lost the capacity to cooperate, so they no longer have respect for boundaries. I'm like, that is pretty global. That is pretty global, right? You know, and
yeah.
And here comes Venus again to regain the capacity to cooperate. So, no, I love your faith in the dead and your spooky grandmother, Diane Wilson, and that kind of connects to part of Rachel's heritage. I want to bring this back because it's liberating that. Going, well, what did that want to be? And you know, and we go, yeah, what did that want to be? So here you are talking to the dead now in a clean way. And Rachel, how did that hums in your own biography, right?
It does actually. Yes, I was raised in a Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which is the little sect of evangelical Catholics. So Holy Spirit Catholics. So I know that well. And it's really interesting because Caroline, when you were talking about grief, I've been sitting with a lot of clients recently going through major losses. And when I have been in times of deep grief myself, I have read, I've found poetry to be the only thing I can digest. And Martine Purcell's The Smell of Rain, the book The Smell of Rain on Dust, Grief and Praise. And so it's, you know, growing up in and Diane, you could probably relate to this, growing up in the evangelical world, praise and worship, everything is like praise.
Yeah.
If I could read a quote from The Smell of Rain on Dust, I think it's really appropriate for how we are compost, how we can compost some of what of the collective grief that we're holding right now. To not grieve is a violence to the divine and our own hearts, and especially to the dead. If we do not grieve what we miss, we are not praising what we love. We are not praising the life we have been given in order to love. If we do not praise whom we miss, or the fisheries we miss, or whatever, I'm improvising here, but if we do not praise whom we miss, we are ourselves in some way dead. So grief and praise make us alive.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And poignancy is kinship. You know, we look at the devastation, you know, again, Gaza and the harm and cruelty and that happened occasioned in, you know, in Israel and in the Ukraine and in Yemen. And I mean, everywhere it's all, and the main shooter, it's all one thing. It's again, you know, pressure comes down and erupts, you know, and the poignancy. And for animals who, you know, those photos of animals looking around that they're completely gone, forest and jungle, just and we're kinned with all that's been lost, you know, and what can we do? And both of you are so good that way, but I love that both of you come from evangelical traditions, that you cast off the superstitious thing, but you are both preaching. It's like E.O. Wilson said that, you know, strict science guy, he said he was working with evangelicals and saying, you know, well, we can have the luxury of disagreement once we've solved the Earth's crisis, but we have a shared vision of preserving the Earth. And what he said, and he said one of the things about the evangelicals is once they got into something, they were really organized, like, all right, recycling. And the last thing, and then I hand it back to you, but he said, you know, the thing that I'm a strict science guy, but what we will need from the evangelicals to save the planet and life and humans and fairness and justice, it's going to take a religious fervor.
Mm-hmm.
So, to liberate the religious fervor from its superstitious. Yeah, back to you. Yep. Anybody? We have our challenging delay. Yeah, there we go. It's thank you, audience. Thank you, audience, for hanging with it. It's just the spirits breaking up the thing that it's they're coming from many miles, so we have static, but you're hanging in there. Okay, did you want to say something, Rachel? Maybe. It's hard to know. Who's
know
here?
That my probably my feverish. What was the word for it? The feverish thing that person did.
Fervor.
Down here,
religious.
Yeah, they call me the crazy lady for that.
Mm-hmm.
They that's their category they put me in when I get that fervor. I got a lot of fervor.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's catchy. Right, because I just remember the times when we've kahooted, you know, again in crossing borders and, you know, Texas good old boys and stuff like that. But they, you encourage their fervor, you know. They go, that crazy woman sure is talking sense, right? And maybe all of us have experienced that, going, that crazy woman is talking sense. I've certainly had that said to myself, going, yeah, and we go, yeah, crazy women, crazy, you know, the wonderful Arabic word majnun, which means crazy for the divine, that kind of crazy, that kind of yearning and grief and kinship, you know, may it, and see, all of us, just, I want to kind of animate this on our way out, but all of us, and then by telepathy, everybody listening, as these quintiles, these portals, you know, Rachel, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and you, Diane, Mercury, quintile, Pluto, to speak in vernacular, because your language is so wonderful, Diane. It's so authentic and kick butt and great. It's irresistible. And you have that charming evangelical fervor, right, for real things. I just so love it. And, you know, to cooperate with the underworld and compost this and, you know, transform that. So we're on our way out, but let's keep this going. I love this team. And we put desirable things on our altar of manifesting, animating. If either one of you have a wish, each one of you can have 30 seconds, right? Anything you want to put on the table to exhort us, Rachel?
Evangelical fervor for the earth.
Yes, that's great. That's great. And you, Diane, woof woof?
I think we're too much in a well-behaved mode. And a lot of people are really afraid to get on that fervor, and they're real afraid to do anything that's not really normal and are out of their comfort zone. And now, especially at this time, all over the world is like, we have to be unreasonable and not well behaved. And, you know,
excellent.
That's where you have to go.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. We do a corresponding woof woof again. Thank you, Rachel Lang. I'll see you soon. Thank you, Diane Wilson. We're in cahoots in perpetuity. Thank you, Kirsten.
Thank you, Caroline.
Michaels, for wonderful work. Okay, we will keep this going. We will, Kirsten Thomas, thank you. We will keep this going in perpetuity.